Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud, Ach Seid Rami Bachama. As we had learnt in the Mishnah and in the previous Daf, there's a Machlokes, Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir holds a woman cannot forgive and reduce the amount of haksuba. Haksuba is the minimum assigned for a basula and mana for almana. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda held that a woman could be meichel, could forgive and reduce part of the ksuba payment. Says the Gemara, Ach Seid Rami Bachama, the sister of Rami Bachama, havas nesivis l'Rav Avya. She was married to Rav Avya. In Irchis Ksuba, haksuba was lost. Asl kamed Rav Yosef, so they came to Rav Yosef. Amulhu, hachi am Rav Yehuda Mishmul. Rav Yehuda Mishmul said, "Zu divrei Remeya, the halacha that a woman may not remain with her husband without a ksuba is the opinion of Remeya. However, avol chacham aimrim, mashes adam es ishtoi, a person may remain with his wife afiyu shtayim v'shal shonim, even 2 or 3 years, but like ksuba." And as Tosfos points out, if he could remain 3 years without a ksuba, he certainly could remain 2 years without a ksuba. Says Tosfos that the 2 or 3 years that the Gemara is using here is not to be taken literally. The point is that according to the Chachamim, since the ksuba obligation is mandatory no matter what, a husband and wife can remain together even if they don't have the ksuba document. Asked Abaya, Vom Rav Nachman of Shmuel, didn't Rav Nachman teach us in the name of Shmuel that Allah remakes Zeroysov, that we follow Rameyer's opinion? And if Rameyer says, as we learned in our Mishnah, that a couple without a ksuba, Hareza bi losa bi losnus, how could you allow them to remain without a ksuba? So said Reb Yosef, Ihachi, zil ksuvalei, go write her the ksuba. The what? We cannot keep the couple together if they don't have in their possession a ksuba document. Rashi asks that we learned in a Mishnah that even if a woman cannot produce her ksuba document, she's entitled to the ksuba. So we see that not under all circumstances must they have a ksuba document. So Rashi answers, either that Mishnah is referring to a locale where they did not write a ksuba. When Al Gemara says, Ramea says, that they must have the ksuba document, that's in a place where they wrote ksubas. And since, as we have been explaining, Rameyer says that the woman relies on that ksuba, without the ksuba, they cannot remain together. But in a place where the ksuba is not written, so the woman isn't relying on it, she knows she's going to get her ksuba payment anyway, so therefore, the ksuba document is not crucial. Another Teretz Rashi says that that Mishnah is referring to payment. Payment we pay the woman, the ksuba payment, under all circumstances. That doesn't mean that they were allowed to remain together if they didn't have a ksuba. Point out the Achronim, Rabbi Chanan discusses this, that this halacha, that without a ksuba they cannot remain together, is only in a place where they're aware that she is aware that a ksuba is missing. But if a ksuba, if they're not aware that a ksuba is missing, even though it actually may be missing, that wouldn't be an issue. Because as we've explained, the entire concern is that she is relying on the ksuba. And if she thinks she has one, that's enough. And therefore, he says, let's say the husband is aware that the ksuba is missing, but not the wife. Still, there's no problem. Because it's, what we're concerned about is her feeling, and if she doesn't recognize that a ksuba is missing, they could be together. Says the Ramah, Machlokes Shulchan Aruch Ramah, if a woman's ksuba is missing, and as we're learning now in the Gemara, the ksuba has to be rewritten, the Shulchan Aruch says the husband and wife may not even be biyichud until they have a ksuba. The Ramah disagrees and says that although they may not have relations until they replace the ksuba, they may be biyichud. Interestingly, the Paiskim also say that we know that the opinion of the Rambam is that a chuppah snida, a chuppah with a nida, is not a kosher chuppah. Reason being, since that chuppah cannot be consummated with a husband and wife having relations, the Rambam holds that chuppah is posel. Says that Paiskim, the Rambam will also hold that if a chuppah is conducted without the husband and wife having a ksuba, if our Gemara just taught us that the husband and wife cannot remain b'yichud, cannot have relations without them having a ksuba document, so the chuppah is a disqualified chuppah because it's a chuppah that cannot lead to a biyah. There's an interesting question amongst the Rishonim. If the ksuba was lost and a new ksuba has to be written, what is the date written into the ksuba? Most Rishonim hold that if there are Edim who recall the original wedding and recall the date of that wedding, then in the new replacement ksuba, we write the date of the original wedding. There are Rishonim, however, hold that whenever a document is written to replace a missing document, the halacha is by shtar halva, or other types of documents, the date of the replacement date is the date written in the document, and that would also be the halacha here. The Nachal Shiva asks a question. The halacha is that if there's a document written that Reuven owes Shimon money, and then that document, both Reuven and Shimon are still very much in agreement. Reuven says, I owe the money. Shimon says, I wasn't repaid the money. The document was lost. So the halacha is we do not write a replacement document. The reason being, because we're concerned that maybe the document was really never lost. And now Shimon now has two documents that indicate that Reuven owes him money, and he may use both documents to collect money that he's not owed. So if so, asked the Nachal Shiva, how could we write for a woman a replacement ksuba? Why are we not concerned that she will then take out the second, the two ksubas and collect her ksuba twice? Says the Nachal Shiva that indeed this is a legitimate concern. However, since, as Rameir is teaching us, that the couple may not remain together without a ksuba, we have no other option but to write the replacement ksuba, even though it brings with it an element of risk, but otherwise this couple will not be able to remain together. So as we said, there's machlokes, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, if a woman could forgive and reduce her debt, her ksuba payment. But as we learned in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yossi is even more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yehuda requires that mechila, that forgiveness, be done in writing. And Rabbi Yossi even holds that it could be given, it could be done al peh, it could be done verbally. And our Gemara now will discuss, according to Rashi and most Rishonim, and that's the way we're going to explain our Gemara, a machloikis and how to understand the machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. There are Rishonim, the Rashba, who explains this Gemara as explaining the machloikis of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, but again, we will explain the Gemara like Rashi, that it's explaining the machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Kiosr of Dimi, Arm Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Arm Rabbi Shimon Belevi, Mishim Pekapora. Machloikis Betchila, the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, if the woman's forgiveness has to be done in writing or it could be done orally, is only in the beginning. We'll explain what beginning means in a moment. Av b'soif, at the end, l'divr hakol eni machalas. Everybody will agree that the forgiveness must be done in writing. Rabbi Yochanan says, bein bezu, machloikis. The machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda applies in both cases. Amar Rabbi Avuah, says Rabbi Avuah, l'idei mefarshalei Rabbi Yochanan, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan that nov Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lo pelgin ba'adadi, that actually Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and I, Rabbi Yochanan, are not really arguing. Just we're referring to different points of the marriage. And as Ritva explains, our Gemara is going to refer to three different stages in the marriage process. One is called Tchila, Tchilas Chuppah, the beginning of the Chuppah. Then we have the end of the Chuppah, which could be either called the end of the Chuppah or the beginning of the Bia. And then we have a third state, which is after the Bia. And explains the Gemara. My betchila the Kamar Bishub and Levi. Rabbi Shub and Levi said that there's a machloikis betchila. What did he mean? Tchilas chuppah. He meant at the beginning of the chuppah. That at that point, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's understanding, Rabbi Yehuda will still require that the forgiveness be done b'ksav. And Rabbi Yehuda will hold that it can be done orally. Or my soif. And what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean when he said the end? He meant soif bia. At the after the bia. With there, even though Rabbi Yossi normally says that mechila, the mechila of the isha could be done al peh, here he'll agree. Since they came so far in their relationship, for the forgiveness to be considered valid, it has to be done in writing. V'chi kamina ano, and when I, Rabbi Yochanan, spoke about tchila b'tchila, soif, and I said, Bein Bezu, Ubein Bezu Machlaikis, that the Machlaikis are Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda in both situations. What I meant was, Tchilas Chuppah, Vesayf Chuppah. That there Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the Mechila has to be in writing, and Rabbi Yosef holds it could be even orally. The He, Vesayf Chuppah, as we explained, is the same as Tchilas Bia. So actually, the way Rav Dimi is now explaining the machloikis of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shuma Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shuma Levi and Rabbi Yochanan don't disagree. They agree how to understand the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. The fundamental point in Rav Dimi's understanding of their explanations is that Rabbi Yehuda always requires that the woman's forgiveness be done in writing. And Rabbi Yossi says that at the beginning of the chuppah or at the end of the chuppah, it can be done al peh, and he agrees that after the bia, it has to be done in writing. Kiyosu Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar of Shimon Pazi, Amar of Shimon Levi, Shimon Kapara, Machlaikas Lebsoif. The Machlaikas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is only at the end. Al Betchila. But at the beginning, Divrei Hakol Machelos, everybody agrees that she could be Moichel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Mezu Machlokes, they argue in both cases. And Amar Bavur, and Bavur explains, L'Ledi Mefan Shalem Edei Rabbi Yochanan, I heard an explanation from Rabbi Yochanan, that not Rabbi Shuman Levi Lo Pligin and Hadodi. Rabbi Shuman Levi and I, Rabbi Yochanan, do not disagree. My Lib Soifdam Rabbi Shuman Levi, what does Rabbi Shuman Levi mean when he says, Libsoif, there's a machloikis. What he means to say is soif chuppah, the end of the chuppah, the beginning of the bia. And my tchila, what does Rabbi Yeshua Levi mean when he uses the word tchila? He means tchilas chuppah, the beginning of the chuppah. So accordingly, Rabbi Yeshua Levi is saying that at the beginning, before the chuppah, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, that mechila could be done apeh, verbally, and their machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to the end of the chuppah and certainly to the end of the bia, where Rabbi Yossi will hold at those points mechila still can be done verbally, and Rabbi Yehuda will say no. At that point, mechila must be done b'ksav. The ki kamina no. And when Rabbi Yochanan says, Bein Bezu Machloikis, that there's always there's a Machloikis, he means Tchilas Bia, Vesayf Bia, which is the exact same thing as Rabbi Shuman Levi, where Rabbi Yossi says the Mechil can be done verbally, and Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be done B'Ksav. So, Ravin's understanding of what Rabbi Shuman Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are saying about the Machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is, that according to Ravin, Rabbi Yossi always holds that Mechila could be done verbally. it's Rabbi Yehuda who, although he holds that before the chuppah, the mechila could be done verbally, will hold that once the chuppah is conducted, whether it's after the chuppah, and certainly after the biyah, there Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the mechila has to be done in writing, and Rabbi Yossi will hold that even at those points, the mechila could be done verbally. But both understandings, whether we follow Rav Dimi's understanding of what Rabbi Shuban Levi and Rabbi Yochanan say, or whether we follow Ravin's understanding of what Rabbi Shuban Levi and Rabbi Yochanan say, all hold that there is no machloikis between Rabbi Shuban Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Amr Papa comments Rav Papa, I love the Amr Bavua. If not that Rabbi Bavua had stated explicitly, the Ladim Mefarshalim Meneid Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan told him that Nov Rabbi Shuban Levi lepilginin adodi, that there really is no machloikis between Rabbi Shuban Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Have Amina, I would have preferred to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuban Levi pligi. It's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuban Levi that disagree. The Rav Dimi v'Ravin, and it's Rav Dimi and Ravin that don't disagree, that loy pligi. And I would have explained my soif the comma Ravin. What did Ravin mean when he says the end? When he says that according to Rabbi Shuban Levi, the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is only at the end, I would have said it means soif chuppah, the end of the chuppah. And when Rabbi Yochanan says that the machloikis is in the beginning and the end, he also refers to the beginning and the end of the chuppah. And therefore, he's arguing Rabbi Shuban Levi, that Rabbi Shuban Levi said that the machloikis is only at the end of the chuppah, but not at the beginning of the chuppah. And what Rabbi Shuban Levi is saying, machloikis is only at the end, but not at the beginning. And Rabbi Yochanan will be holding that the machloikis is at the beginning, at the end. Furthermore, my tchila the kamer of Dimi, and what Rav Dimi says, that according to Rabbi Shuban Levi, the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is only the beginning, I would have said what he means is tchilas chuppah, the beginning of the tchilas bia, the beginning of the bia, right after the chuppah. So according to this explanation of Rav Papa, the way the machloikis would have gone is as follows. Before the chuppah, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yossi that mechila could be done verbally, and that's what Ravin calls the beginning. And Rabbi Yochanan would say that they even argue in that case. At the second point, the end of the chuppah, the beginning of bia, tchilas bia, which Rav Dimi calls a tchila, and Ravin calls a soif. There, Rabbi Shuman Levi and Rabbi Yochanan will both agree that there's machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says the mechil can be done verbally. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be done in writing. And then at the last point, after the bia, according to Rabbi Shuman Levi, Rabbi Yossi agrees that then the mechila has to be done b'ksav. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, they even argue at that point with Rabbi Yossi holding it could be done al-peh, and Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be done b'ksav. That's how Rav Papa would have explained what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuban Levi hold. If not, the Rav Avuah told us that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuban Levi don't argue. Ask them, Ramai Kamashman, what is the Gemara trying to tell us? That I would have said it if I could have said it. But we know that what you're saying is not true. So what's the point of what you're saying, Rav Papa? Says the Gemara. And this is the way Tosfos helps us understand the Gemara. Hakamashmon. The pligi trei meroi atamud nafshayu v'loi pligi trei meroi alibud chadamayra. There are two types of machloikisim. We could have a machloikis what somebody said. Or we could have a machloikis in svara. Logic. A machloikis in svara, there is no winner and there is no loser. Everybody could be right. I could hold. There's ayin ponim l'toira. There are many different ways of looking at a shaila. So, according to Rav Papa's explanation, which has Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan arguing on a matter of logic. At what point do we apply to Machlaikas? At what point don't we apply to Machlaikas? They could both be right. Whereas, if we follow the previous understanding of the Machlaikas, Ravin has one way of saying the Machlaikas of Rabbi Shuma Levi, of explaining the Machlaikas, what Rabbi Shuma Levi and Rabbi Yochanan said. Rav Dimi has another way of explaining what Rabbi Shuma Levi and Rabbi Yochanan said. They're not arguing over logic. They're arguing over facts. What did Rabbi Shuv ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan say? One of their reports is obviously incorrect. We would much prefer, says Tosfos in explaining Rapapa, that we have a machloikis where we only have winners. There are no losers. Everybody's entitled to their svara versus having a machloikis where somebody is obviously wrong, because there cannot be two sets of facts. The facts are only one set of facts. Either Rabbi Shuman Levi or Rabbi Yochanan said they machlokes like Rav Dimi, or they said it like Ravin. One is right and one is wrong, and I would have preferred to avoid explaining the Gemara that way, says Rav Papa. As we have explained, the Jewish marriage has two steps, Erusin and Nisuin. And although in our world, the Erusin and Nisuin are conducted at the same time under the chuppah, in the times of Chazal, there was quite a space, a time lag between the Erusin and the Nisuin. Our Mishnah, Gemara Mitzvashem, will discuss the halachas regarding that. It says the Mishnah, Naisin l'psula shneimas achodesh b'shetava abal. From when a basula becomes an arusa, we give her 12 months to get ready for the wedding. The finest of sotzma, to get ready to provide for the wedding. And as most mefarshim poskim hold, this time is only after the erusin. From when there is only an engagement, then these halachas do not apply. Although the Tiferes Yaakov does want to suggest that it even applies to an engaged couple, the Mabit says that our Mishnah is referring strictly to Erusin, as does the Beis Shmuel hold, and therefore even if we have a couple who got engaged and Tanoim were written, it doesn't make a difference. Even if there was a date written into the Tanoim when the marriage will take place, and for some reason it's delayed, the halachas that we learn in our Mishnah Gemara would not apply. So for psula we give 12 months. Many mefarshim say that the reason the Mishnah uses the words 12 months is because even in a leap year we give strictly 12 months, although there are paiskim that say it means a year, and in a leap year we would indeed wait 13 months. So we give a 12 months l'fanas etzatzma to prepare for the wedding. Says the Mishnah, Shem shenoisnum l'isha, just like we give the woman these 12 months, kach noisnum l'ish l'fanas etzatzmai, so do we give the man 12 months. There's machlokes rishonim how to understand this line. Some say that we follow the woman. If the woman is a basula, it makes no difference what the man is, we wait 12 months. And if the woman is not a basula, then we wait 30 days. Others, the Rambam and other Rishonim hold that we look at what the man is also. And therefore, if the Chosin is a Bocher, we wait 12 months, even if the Kala is an Almana. Well, for Almana, we wait Shloish Miyoyim, 30 days. So we have here now a difference between a Basula and Almana. Basula, we wait 12 months, and Almana, we wait 30 days. There's a fundamental debate amongst the Rishonim. What is the reason we give a Basula 12 months and a month of 30 days? Some explain that it has to do, as we've been learning so many times in our Masechta, with the status of a woman. A Basula, as we've been learning, is of a higher status, and therefore by her we wait for 12 months. A woman who's not a Basula, we wait less, 30 days. Others say it has nothing to do with the status of the woman.
It has to do with time to prepare. A woman needs time to prepare for the woman wedding. What would be nafkaminas between these different approaches? One nafkamina would be, let's say the kala is a bu'ula. She previously had relations, but she was never married. If it has to do with the status of the woman, then she's a bu'ula. We don't wait 12 months. If it has to do with the time to prepare, then she needs 12 months. She was never previously married. Another nafkamina will be an almana from an erusin. If it's status, she's an almana from an erusin, 30 days. If it's time to prepare, there it would have to be 30 days. That would, she would need 12 months. She never really had the 12 months to prepare for a wedding. Others go on to describe what would be the halacha if a woman was married. She's an almana and an asuin, but she got married many, many years ago, and now her husband died or divorced her, and she's getting remarried. So the preparation that she did all those years ago, they're long past. So if it's because of status, she's an almana and an asuin, we should only wait 30 days. If, on the other hand, it has to do with need to prepare, she may have great needs to prepare. Continues the Mishnah. If the time to get married comes and they don't get married, says the Mishnah, the halacha is oichlus mishaloi, the husband has to begin to support her, oichlus betruma, and she's entitled to truma. For as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, midaraisa, as soon as she became an arusa, she was entitled to, she's entitled to truma, for various reasons that we will explain in the Gemara. Chazal don't allow it to eat truma, but once the time for the wedding comes and they don't get married, she is allowed to, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, eat truma. There's a fundamental machlokes here too, and how to view this rule that once the time to get married comes, she's allowed to, she needs to get supported from the husband. Is it because Chazal look at it as a certain status that maybe they're actually not married, but they're past erusin, and therefore the halacha that a husband has to support a wife begins? Or is it a knas? Is it a fine to the husband? You should have married her. If you didn't marry her, that's why we punish you, that you have to support her. What would be the nafkamina between these two approaches? Two nafkaminas. Will she have to turn over her wages to the husband? If we say it's because of a knas, so then she doesn't have to turn over her wages. If, on the other hand, we explain that it's because they came to a certain level of a relationship, and at that level, he has to support her. Similarly, she'll have to turn over her wages to him. Another nafkamina will be, if the time comes and she did not request that they get married. If we say it's because at that point, there's a certain status that's been achieved that he has to support her, it makes no difference if she requested that they get married or not. But if it's because of a punishment, it could be only if she requested that they get married and he refused. Is there a halacha that he has to support her? Otherwise, he would not have to support her. The Paiskim also discuss, when we speak about these 12 months, let's say he or she got ill or something else during these 12 months, that there was a time during that period that they couldn't prepare for the wedding. Do we give? Is that considered part of the 12 months or not? Some Rishonim say, of course, if there were some circumstances that prevented them from preparing for the wedding, we have to give them an extension. Others say that when Chazal established the 12 months, they knew that in 12 months circumstances arise that cause them not to be able, that they can't always be busy preparing for the wedding. So they built that in, and that's why they gave us so long, 12 months. So we learned that when the time to marry comes, he has to start supporting her, and if he's a kohen, he gives her truma. And there's a machlokes of tafroim and nois lakol truma. He can give her entire payment in truma. Kivayim mechza chulam mechza truma. We will mitzshem in tomorrow's shir explain this machlokes a little more. We know that if someone dies without children, his wife becomes a yavama. Teaches us the Mishnah hayavam. If a woman is waiting for Yibum from her Yavam, the halacha is Eina Machal B'Truma. And as Rishonim explained, that even though
once they're married, if the Yavam takes the wife in marriage as Yibum, he does. She's certainly entitled to Truma. Here in the period of being a Shemeris Yavam, she does not get Truma. Says the Mishnah, Osa Shisha Chadosh Refnei Abal, the Shisha Chadosh Refnei Yavam. 6 months she was by the husband, he died, and now she fell for the Yibum. Or Afil Kulum Refnei Abal, she spent 12 months minus 1 day as an Arusa. Chosu Yemecha, the last day her husband died, and she fell to the Yavam. Or vice versa, Kulum Refnei Yavam, Chosu Yemecha Refnei Abal. All the For 1 day she was an Arusa, and for the remainder of the 12-month period, she was a Shemeris Yavam, and all those cases, Eira Chels Betruma. Because although a husband does give a wife to Truma, not a Yavam. And this will be explained more in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishoina, this was the original opinion of Chazal. However, Bezdin Shalachreim Amru, the later Bezdin said, a woman is not entitled to truma until she actually enters the chuppah. Says the Gemara, we spoke about 12 months. Ask the Gemara, Menahani Mili, from where do we learn the concept of 12 months? What is 12 months? Amrav Chizda, we know that the Pasuk says, when Eliezer came to the home of Besul and Lavan, and found Rivka as a wife for Yitzchak. So after that, the brother, the pasuk says, "V'yomachiyah va'ima." Rivka's brother, mother said to Eliezer, "Teishimanu hanara itanu yomim aser. Let the girl remain with us for yomim or 10 days." Ask the Gemara, "My yomim? What does the pasuk mean?" Pashit, we would say that the word yomim means 2 days. Ilay Mitzray Yomi, that they were asking Eliezer, let her remain with us 2 days. However, ask the Gemara, Mishtoi Inchi Hachi, does a person speak that way? Amrlay Trey Yomi, they're asking him, let her remain with us 2 days. Amrlahu, and he says, Loi, no, I can't wait. So they say to him, okay, you can't wait 2 days, Amalei Asar Yomi, so wait 10 days. It makes no sense. If he's not willing to wait 2 days, he's certainly not willing to wait 10 days. Elamai Yomim, what does the word Yomim mean? Shana, a year. And as we find, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says that if somebody sells a home in a bayis ir chayma, Yomim Tiyah Gulasai, he has up to a year to buy back the house. So, and if not, the house remains the buyer's. He can no longer redeem it. So the pasuk uses the word yomim, and it means a year. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains our Gemara, what the Gemara here is not really looking for a pasuk about the 12 months. This is all midrabanan. What the Gemara here is trying to find, is there a concept of, where do we find the concept of 12 months? Because certainly that pasuk cannot be a real Makar. First of all, Rivka did not have Kedushin at that point. We know that possibly Rivka was already 14 years old, as we will soon in Mitzvah Shem learn in the Gemara. Once a girl is passed by Geras, the Halachas of 12 months change. We're just looking for a source where we find that typically a Kala was given 12 months to prepare for her wedding. It's interesting that the Shor Mitzvah of Halacha asks that we find that Chazal learned halachas of a Jewish marriage from Lavan. One is the halacha we're just learning now, that we give a kala 12 months to prepare. We know that the minig is that generally a youngest sister doesn't get married before an older sister, as Lavan told Yaakov, Kiloyasakem and Mekamenu, Loses Hatsira Lefneya Bechira. Why do we learn from Lavan such important halachas about the Jewish marriage? So he explains, there's nothing more important than building a Jewish home, the foundation of Klal Yisrael. To be successful in building a home, we need all the advice we can get. And the Torah, the Gemara, is teaching us, we take advice from anyone, even from a Lavan, a Rasha. But advice on how to build a home successfully the foundation of Klal Yisrael will take from anyone. Ask the Gemara, maybe when the Pasuk uses the word Yomim, it means a month. Ve'im Chodesh Tiksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ad Chodesh Yomim. Amri answers the Gemara, Donin Yomim Stam, the Yomim Stam. Here the Torah uses the words Yomim, as it does by the Pasuk of Yomim Tiyah Gulosai, with no prefix or suffix. Ve'im Donin Yomim Stam, and it doesn't make sense to rather compare it to a place where, like an Al Pasuk just says the word Yomim, Miyomim Shinam Bachodesh, from another place where the Pasuk uses the words Ad Chodesh Yom. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Tana, Ktana, Aktana, Bein He, Bein Avi Yechoyim La'akav. Both she and her parents can delay the wedding, and her father can delay the wedding. As Rashi explains, our Gemara is referring to a situation where the father was Mekadosh the girl when she's a Ktana, which, although we're going to learn, should not really happen. But his father was Mekadosh, or was Ma'aris her at that young age. And the 12 months end when she's still a Ketana. And the Gemara says that she could wait, say, even though the 12 months came, I want to delay the wedding. Says the Gemara, Bishlami I Matz Ma'akfa. We could understand that she can delay the wedding. As Rishonim explained, either because she says she's not prepared to have relations, or she's not prepared to run a home. Elo avia, asked the Gemara, but why should her father be allowed to delay the wedding? If she's prepared to have a wedding, avia may nafkulimina. What does it? How could a father delay it? Answers the Gemara. Her father could say, hashtalayada. She doesn't recognize what it means to get married. She's all excited about getting married. Lamacher, however, once she gets married, mimrid of a nefka, she'll recognize that it's too difficult for her to be married, and she'll leave the husband, and she'll come back to my home. Therefore, I have a stake here, and I have a right to delay the wedding. In fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss. The Rama already discusses, can a father demand that his son marry a specific woman? And the halach is that a father cannot demand that a son marry a specific woman. The Paiskim give a number of explanations. One is the Gemara Masech Tegdushin says, Osu la'odam al-kadish isha ad shi'arena. A man is not allowed to marry a woman until he sees her. So it means he has to see her and consent. Another pshat is, even though we have an obligation to do kibbut av aim, just like we've discussed previously, we may not have to spend our own resources to be mekayim the mitzvah. What greater expenditure is forcing a person to marry a woman whom he doesn't want to? But what about the reverse situation, where a son, a daughter particularly, want to marry someone and the parents don't want? Is there a chiyuv to pay attention and listen to what the parents say? And the Paiskim suggest, based on our Gemara, that a father says, I have something at stake when you marrying this person, and I believe that it will not be a successful marriage, and perhaps under those circumstances a son and daughter have to listen to what the father says and not marry the girl or boy that they don't want them to. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba Bar Levi, Ein Paiskim al Ktana L'Sik Shiktana. We cannot set a wedding date for a Ktana to marry off even when she's a Ktana. As we said, a Ktana is not supposed to get married. Al Paiskim al Ktana, we could set a date for a Ktana L'Sia K'shi Ktana, to get a G'dayla, to get her married off when she is an adult. Asking Rav Shita, the entire concern is, as we explained, that a Ktana is not supposed to get married, but this girl is not a Ktana. Answers the Gemara, Maritim Lecha Shtuma Maila Bechtakta Mahajda, that even the girl, she's not going to get married until she's a G'dayla. But by telling her now that she's going to get married, it could bring into her a sense of fear, the chalsha, which will weaken her. Kamash Mlan, that's why Chazal tells us, for that we don't have to be concerned. The Mefarsh Mass that we learned in Masechta Yevamos, Hamasiya Banav Benois of Samach Lepirkon, all of our curse of Omer, V'yadato Kisholam Alecha, the people should marry off their children young, yet in our Gemara we're learning that they should not get married young. So the Bach says there's a difference. We have to look at the level of maturity of the child. Some children are mature enough to get married young, others are not. Also, the Paiskim to say, we have to look at other factors in making this determination, factors about golus, factors about financial situations. Generally, however, our Gemara is saying that girl or boy should not get married as a ketana. The Paiskim also make a very interesting observation. They say from our Gemara we see that pachad, fear, has a place in halacha. And that's why I sort of Paiskim suggest that if one is chas v'sholem sick, it may be advisable not to tell him the extent of his disease, because it will bring into him a level of pachad, a level of fear. And our Gemara is teaching us that fear is certainly something to be reckoned with. Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, Bagra Yomechot, if the girl is already a bageres, v'niskatcha, and then she becomes mukadeshes, Naislan Shlashim Yom Kalmana, we only give her 30 days as an almana. And the way the Rishonim explain, since the girl is already an older girl, she's already a bogeres, therefore, we assume that she prepared everything for the wedding earlier, and we only give her 12 months. As Tosfos, if we just finished explaining that a girl should only become mukadeshes when she's a nara, not when she's a ketana, so there's always going to be 12 months. There's not going to be 12 months. Because let's say she became Mekudeshes even the first day she's a Nara, there's only 6 months between Naras and Bagras. Explains Tosfos that Al Gemara is referring that she's already a Bageris when she became Mekudeshes. But if she was a Nara when she became Mekudeshes, even Rav Huna would agree we wait 12 months. Meisvei asked the Gemara Rav Huna, it says in the Braisa, Bagra Reik Tfuah. A girl is bagaris is like a girl who's been told, let's set a date for the wedding. My lack for the psula. That we learned in our Mishnah, the psula when she becomes a tfula gets 12 months. Here we're saying that she doesn't get the 12 months. Says the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, he'll explain the bride to mean, ketfuah d'almana, like an almana who's asked to get married, that we give her 30 days. Toshma. So Gemara asks another question on Rav Huna. It says in a brisa, a bugger who waited 12 months, once 12 months have passed, Yofer, the husband annuls her vows. As we learned, when a girl is in Arusa, her husband and father annul her vows jointly. Teaches us the Braisa that once this bogeris waited the 12 months, her husband annuls the vows alone. But we see that she waits 12 months. Ema says, the way to understand the Braisa, Begeris, that the Braisa is talking about two separate situations. A Begeris, or a different situation, Shashar Sashneim Masachaydish. In both of those situations, Rabbi Lezo, Ema Hoyle, Baal, Chaydman, as a cell. Since the husband has to support her, Yofer, he annuls her vows alone. Toshma, Hamaris Absula, it says in the Braisa, if somebody is Maris Absula, whether the husband wants to get married and she's the one delaying it, or whether she wants to get married and the husband is delaying it, from the 12 months from the time when they ask to get married, we give 12 months. Not from the moment of erisin. We start counting from the shas tfiyah, or bagra, however says the Bryce, the bagra, Hareik Tvua. A Bagra is considered like Tvua. Ketzet, Bagra Yom Echav Niskacha. Once a girl is begares for one day, Noiskulam Shnei Masachodish, we give her 12 months. A Larusa, for Larusa, we give 30 days. We'll explain what that means in a moment. But to Yufta Rav Huna, here it clearly says the begares gets 12 months. Says the Gemara, indeed, to Yufta. Ask the Gemara, Mai Larusa Shloishim Yom. What did the Brice mean when it says we give an Arusa Shloishim Yoim? Amra Papa Hakama. Bagris Sha'avru Alesh Shnei Masachaydish Bebagris of a Geris that 12, there's already a Geris for 12 months. At least that means she's already 13 and a half. And at that point in the Scotcha, there everybody agrees, since she's so old that she's already a year past the Geris, there the halach is Noisim Lo Shloishim Yoim Kamana. We only give her 30 days like we give 12 months. he gives mavla nisnu. So our Mishnah says if the time for marriage came, they didn't get the nisuin, then she eats, she supports her, and according to the Mishnah Rishonah, she even eats truma. Amu ula, so explains ula, because dvatay midaraisa arusa bas yisrael kalf truma, and arusa is entitled to eat truma. The shenamer, as the pasuk says, the kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoi. If a kohen buys something, they're entitled to eat truma. Vaynami kinyan kaspoi hu. This girl is a kinyan kaspoi. Matam anachos. Why the Chazal say she should not eat? Shemi yimzuguloi koisu beis avia. Maybe if her husband is feeding, sending her truma, she may take this truma, wine or drink or food, for tashkalachilach, so she's still living in her parents' home with her siblings who are not kohanim, not married to kohanim, not allowed to eat truma, and she may feed it to them. Ask the Gemara if that's Ula's concern. He gives mavloi nisunami. Even if the time for the marriage came, why is she allowed to eat truma? Why is there not this concern that she'll feed it to her siblings? Says the Gemara, hasam duchtam yachid lo. If they come to that point of a relationship, she no longer lives at her parents' home. He gives her a special apartment, so she's not with her siblings, and there is no concern that she's going to feed them the truma. Ask the Gemara, Elami Ata, Lokit Kain Li Yisrael, if a Kain is working as a worker by Yisrael, Loi Lechel Batruma, he shouldn't be Lati Truma. Why are we not concerned? Dima Osla Mechel Badei, he may feed the Truma to his co-workers, to his employers, Hoi Yisraelim. Answers the Gemara, Hashtim Dudu Safale, it's really the employer's responsibility to flee the employee. Midday achli, so there's certainly no concern that the employee will feed the employer. If anything, the only concern is the employer to the employee, not employee to employer. So ask Taisa, so indeed, if the employer is a kohen, what do we do? So it says, an employer, a kohen, who has to feed his employees, is careful to make sure that only he gives them to eat what halachically they may eat.